This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, Red.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional, wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, on this Friday, February 16th, 2024. Oh, it's an important Friday. First of all, did you get your tickets yet for the big Cheap Heat event of the cinch that's going down WrestleMania weekend, Thursday, April 4th at Fringe Arts in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? I'm currently talking to our good friend Dip, who I'm sure you remember from the exceptional work he's done on the last two Cheap Heat designs, Jonathan Bartlett, who, by the way, also, Dip, I should note,
who did a
beautiful job on the cover of the new 2K, the WrestleMania edition, the 40 years WrestleMania edition. He did the cover.
I got to tell you, it's one of the most mage covers of a video game I've ever seen. I'm obsessed with what he did.
The only thing that would make it better for Dip is if they replaced all the legends they had with just the Powers of Pain.
That's right. And Demolition.
If they had them together, that would be it. But so I've been talking to Jonathan Bartlett about what the shirt design is going to be. I'm checking the sales update. We are cruising along, but go get your tickets. There are still some available. We do want to make this a hard sellout by the time we get there. So shout out to everyone who's already purchased their tickets. But if you have not, get her done.
If you have not bought a ticket to this event and you're going to be at WrestleMania and you're a peckerhead or the friend of a peckerhead, you crazy.
I know. It's crazy. Because right now, think about it. The thousands and thousands of people listening right now. This room is not big. I mean, I'm going to level with you guys. This is not a huge room. And we sold a ton the first weekend. I was thrilled. But I do want to make sure we get to a complete... I want it rammed to the rafters at this place. I want to be turning people away, sending them down the street. We haven't even announced special guests. My hope is... Here's the deal. I hope to not announce the special guests because I just want to sell it out on its own and then just let the people be surprised. Because you know how we feel about a surprise on this show.
We want to pop you people. We want
Means, and when Dip says you people, I just want you to know he 100% means himself. Trust me, I hear every idea he has. Everyone is about popping himself.
The truth is that we need to talk more about this event, and I'll be calling you over the weekend.
No, I'm doing it on my own. I'm ignoring you. Literally every...
I wouldn't. Every idea. Want.
Every idea you've given me, as God is my witness. No, you haven't. You've given me minimum 2 to 3 ideas, and they all center around you being popped. So, that's what they center
but
around.
But I do it for the people. I mean, yes, of course I'll
you're
pop.
You're lying through your teeth. You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You're not crazy. Well, fine. Then you're not lying out loud. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're not lying to them. The lie is deep within you. Dip, you arguing for a powers of pain appearance is only for you. There's not one other person clamoring for powers of pain.
If you are a peckerhead listening right now to this podcast and you want to see the powers of pain at this event, please send an email to rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. Flood this man's email. We'll see if there's a flood. We will see if we need to patch and paint.
Maybe you begging like this will lead to that, but I don't believe there's an honest clamor for powers of pain.
You don't think there's a powers of pain clamor?
I'm not sensing clamor. So number one, go get your tickets at Eventbrite for Cheap Heat Live in Philly Mania weekend. Number two, I've been informed there is not a Cheap Heat this Tuesday. So this is going to be your fill of Cheap Heat from now until Friday because the Ringer/Spotify does like a wellness week next week. And so as a result, we are not recording on Tuesday. You know, normally I don't observe these things like wellness. You know me, I can be on my honeymoon. I can be in other countries. We were doing the podcast. The podcast always happens, but we are observing it this week. Troy probably needs to fit in 6 or 7 dates that day.
Oh, yeah.
So, Troy, we care about your wellness, especially after what happened last week, a troubling moment on the podcast. I could tell you needed a break.
Yeah, I was actually so surprised by how willing you were to observe Wellness Week because, like you said, you never take breaks. I don't think you've ever observed your own wellness. So I was pleasantly surprised that you would participate in this too, because I think you need a break more than I do.
I don't hate it. It won't be the worst thing in the world having a Tuesday without an extra show in the middle of my shows. Considering I do multiple shows on Monday too, because I have Over the Top, a podcast you should really subscribe and listen to. And by the way, compared to Dipperstein, I'm like the wellness king of Chicago. Just know, okay? I stop for therapy multiple times a week. I'm taking naps. I'm getting sleep. I have a woman who's cooking me delicious, healthy meals. Not all of my coffee has International Delight in it. I'm doing things for wellness, okay? Dipperstein is the one Dip has been running on the same gasoline since he was 18. This is it.
I know. I look fantastic, but I feel terrible.
Oh, you lift up the hood though. And you lift up the hood. Everything's corroded. There's oil everywhere. Dip, I have to ask you something. Mm-hmm. What is your glasses prescription like?
It's 1.5. I don't know what the number is. I don't know. These are readers. But I do have a prescription now. I don't know what it is.
Hold on. I'm getting
better. That's the prescription. The man needs to see better.
Well, but this is really important. Okay. I got some frames for readers. I know I could use readers. And I bought a beautiful set of glasses. Now I need to go get the lenses put in. Here's the question I have for you. The readers that you have, Are those full on in reader mode all the time, or the bottom is reader and the top is normal?
No, I have. The truth is.
Go ahead. This is big. The truth. Tell us the truth, please. There's a lot of speculation. We need the truth.
I was using readers as glasses for a very long time, and then
as
finally,
full on glasses.
Yes. Okay. Then so had to succumb to the fact that I needed to make an appointment with an eye doctor, and then she told me that I was farsighted. And so I have astigmatism as well, whatever that means. So everyone seems to be having stigmatisms now.
So what does that mean now? So what are those glasses?
These are just readers that I may wear all day. I may not. But I have like 4 or 5 pairs of glasses that are prescription that have like thick lenses in them that are, I don't know what the prescription is. I have to
got it. But those are readers. But don't most people with readers not wear readers all day long?
Yes.
Don't they take them on and off?
But I like the magnification.
Did you ever do the, I know they're not called bifocals anymore, blended or whatever they are now, where you look down and they're reader and you look up and there's no reader?
No, but I would consider.
The second we finish recording, I'm at the summer residence and I am going to go to a glasses place with my new frames and go, what do I need here? Because I need to
read
them.
Let me tell you what it is. It's just another thing to spend money on. Okay. The moment I knew I needed glasses, I'm like, oh, well, I can't just wear one every day. I need 10 of them. So I went out, I spent thousands of dollars on glasses and lenses, and that's what I did.
So you just wanted to waste money. Your goal is to just continue to waste, get a couch guy, get a glasses guy. You got to have guys.
I know.
Well, I do know that the looking at things to read is getting, I mean, listen, I'm in my mid 40s.
I can't even see my phone anymore. Yeah. But I got to tell you, the lenses thing is the biggest racket on the face of the earth.
How much are they charging you for the lens?
$400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. $100 for these lenses, not thousand. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. The frames are 600 and the lenses are 400. You walk out of there $1,000. It's a joke. What are these made out of? They're made out of glass. I mean, how much expensive
am I going to spend if I go in there right now and say, I just want reader lenses in these glasses? What are they going to charge me?
You can't do that. You can't even do that.
What do you mean?
Like, you just want reader lenses?
Yeah, I just want to take my beautiful frames that I got and put in glasses that'll be able to help me see when I read.
Like just magnifying?
Essentially. They won't be able to do that?
Yes, but they'll be like cheap plastic. Like they'll be like cheap lenses that, you know what I mean? Like there's different levels of lens. I didn't know this either until recently. There's different levels of glass and different things. Who the hell knows? It's a gigantic racket, massive.
So I don't even know what to expect when I walk
in. No, you're going to go in there. You're going to say, I don't have a prescription. I just need magnification. And they're going to say, oh, well, like, I don't know. They could either say, we don't do that. Or they're going to say, why don't you just buy a pair of readers?
But I have these beautiful glasses.
And there's no lenses in them? They're just frames?
No, there's glass. Glass has nothing. They're just glasses. There's no prescription.
So they pop them out and put like magnification lenses in. You're not even going to get.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, I know. I did the same thing. I thought I knew what this was. And then it's something completely different.
And you still don't seem like you have an idea of what you're talking about.
I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
And then Michael Kay was the same thing. He had no idea. I was like, do you guys, you don't. And then Zach Linder, who knows the thing about glasses.
This is how they trick people into spending money. Oh, yeah, these are 400. These are 600. These are 800. Oh, okay. I need the best thing. I have to see. It's my eyes.
You know what? I may just walk out and say, I'll just leave them blank. I'll just lie to people and say their prescription.
Yeah. I've done that I did that as well.
Yeah, you've been lying. All right. So there was that I needed to cover. We're going to get to a lot of mailbag today. As we record this on a Friday, and I'm guessing many of you are listening on the Friday, maybe some of you are listening later than that and have already seen what happened, but there are ads out there for SmackDown or promotion, I should say. Roman Reigns put up a thing saying things will never be the same or everything's going to change tonight with a picture of him and The Rock. So apparently things are going to change tonight. Now, Dip, I don't know if you saw this, but SGG said in our group chat that he heard a rumor about what was going to happen.
Okay.
And I texted him. I said, what did you hear? Okay. And he said, and I'm saying this because I'm just assuming this is wrong. He said he heard, and by the way, SGG doesn't have any connects inside the walls, so I'm assuming this is something he read somewhere. That they're changing it from the bloodline to the godline. I pray to the godline. That's not what the change is.
They may like refer to it. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
What do you mean? Whatever. Would you be happy if that happened? If they went, we're no longer the bloodline. We're the godline.
Well, is it God? He's got it. God mode. Isn't that what he says?
He did. I mean, he hasn't said it in a long, didn't say it very often anymore. You don't. My point is this. You don't want to tinker with the term bloodline. This is what it is. It's been the bloodline. There's no changing.
There's a reason.
It's blood. Yeah. That's a real thing. No one's actually God.
Yeah.
We're not going to get out of the blood business, are we?
Speaking of blood.
Can't be.
Speaking of blood, I don't know if you watched the Orange Cassidy match on Dynamite. But
what, for last I've never night? I didn't make it to that.
Wednesday. On Wednesday night.
No, part of the show?
It was the main.
No, of course it was. No, I didn't.
I have never seen. I'm pulling it up now. Once or twice, I've seen blood like this
on TV.
Yeah, against Matt Taven.
Oh well, that sounds like a main event to me.
Who looks like my friend Aaron Schmidt?
I have an Aaron Schmidt.
You have an Aaron Schmidt? I have a great Aaron Schmidt.
Yeah, my Aaron Schmidt's a woman.
Oh, mine's a man. There was blood. This was one of the bloodiest matches Woof.
Is it a good match?
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to say something here, and I recognize that the people who don't like when I say things like this already don't like me anyway. I watched Collision, and I watched a big portion of Dynamite. I was not happy with what I saw. And guess what? If it hurts your feelings and you think I'm a shill, sorry. If you think at this point that I'm rooting for AEW to be bad, then you fundamentally think I'm just a liar and I don't tell the truth. I absolutely want the product to be good. I absolutely want there to be an awesome place that can compete and other people could work there when they're not able to be at WWE. I think the business is better when there are more eyeballs on it. Blah, 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 blah. As you guys know, I'm friends with and love the biggest star in the entire company. I love many veterans who are there. Dip, there's not a lot going on that's good. It's just not very good right now. I'm sorry.
I mean, it just feels like there isn't really an A storyline that is that compelling. I got to tell you, so I hadn't really watched intently in a very long, I don't want to say very long time, but I haven't sat down and watched all 2 hours, watched every word everyone was saying and everything that everyone was, blah, blah, everything that was going on in a minute. And I did.
Okay.
And there's just certain things that make sense and certain things that don't.
This is very nice the way you're framing this. Very nice.
The A storyline is Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page.
Yes. It's been that for like 5 weeks already.
I'm going to tell you straight up. I think Swerve needs a ton of work on the mic. I think
he still needs work.
He's nervous. He's rehearsed. It doesn't work for me. Samoa Joe.
But you're the biggest mic critic literally in the history of pro wrestling.
I am a mic critic.
I mean, beyond belief.
I think Samoa Joe as the champion is good. I mean,
you think it's good at Jace. You've made clear before that.
I think it's good at Jace. I'm ready for him to lose it and give it to somebody who needs it more.
But let me just say though, even that would be that it was a nothing title reign. There hasn't been, this has been the whole story since he got the title from Max.
Yeah.
This has been it.
And I don't think Hangman needs to be in the picture, especially with that mustache. Looks ridiculous. Okay. Secondly, Edge. I'm not an Edge head. I never was. I appreciate that he's a legend and his body of work. But him versus Daniel Garcia, even if it's just to set up him and Christian, it's still like not great TV. Edge is, not what he was, and
the segment they had on Dynamite this week, everything he does with Christian and Luchasaurus, it has so many people involved in it. Everything they do has extra people involved. How many people do you need on the show?
I agree.
Like, it's crazy. I love that people have jobs. Okay, I do have secondary shows where you just can people money. I'm all for it. But on what's supposed to be the main show, they have every story has extra people always. It's confusing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And guess what? If you think I sound like a lame casual, okay, I am. But you know what wrestling shows need? They need casuals to be able to come in and out. Not everybody watches every minute of every show. I'm lost half the time, Dip. I just like, I haven't watched for 3 weeks. I don't know who this is.
I know. There's a lot of I don't know who this is. And again, that's a casual thing, and I apologize for that. And that's on
you. Shouldn't
have,
by the way, you should not have to apologize. Like, I get it. We're doing a wrestling podcast, so in theory, everyone believes we should watch every single minute of every single show that exists. That's impossible with even WWE week to week sometimes. There's a ton of wrestling content on TV every single week. So can I follow along when I miss a week? Yes, I have been able to keep up with the Samoa Joe, the A storyline, if you will. They do give their A storylines time, and I appreciate that. They give most of their storylines time. That's actually one thing that I'll say is an upshot of AEW. But there's just too many people involved with everything. And
it doesn't feel organized. Even as down to, like, I'm talking about Hangman Page's mustache. Like, there's aesthetic things with each performer that is clearly no one's giving them any feedback telling them what to look like, because they're doing whatever they want. Like, you cannot have the Young Bucks wrestle in suit jackets. Even if it has Darby Allin's blood on it, it doesn't matter. Come up with something else. Like, they wrestled an entire match against Top Flight in suit jackets. Mm-hmm. It looked aesthetically, it looked awful. Okay. There's that. Then you had, Swerve. He looks exhausted. He looks tired. His eyes, I don't know if there's like no makeup, if like he's putting makeup under his eyes to make it whatever. There's something off about his look. He doesn't look imposing anymore. He used to. Something changed. Now he just looks very average. I don't know. Something's off. He's not working out. Something's going on there. He's not looking like the best he could look as someone who's probably about to be the champion. Doesn't look like a top guy.
What do you think? There's a physical change or it's something in the way he's carrying himself?
Both.
I didn't notice anything physically different about him.
About 6 months ago when I was watching whatever, he'd come out and I would say, whoa, this guy, it feels like something. I think you and I even talked about it. But now he comes
got more
out,
jacked up.
He looks less jacked.
No, that he did back then, though.
He was more jacked and something, his presentation was just more profound. I'm sensing something different. I also don't know why Jay White needs to be associated with the Ass Boys. And that whole stable is too many
people. And by the way, we're really going with Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
That's not working for me. And I don't know, man. It's like Moxley has the same match every week.
Dude, Moxley comes out and it just feels like not a thing anymore. Nobody feels like a thing to me right now. Swerve, I agree. I see what you're saying, that Swerve doesn't have quite the same zhuzh that he had 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But like, for all these talented people, there are so many talented people there and so few of them feel like anything. It's just crazy to me. And again, you guys can get mad and bent out of shape and say I'm being a bad fan and I should just be more committed to it and then I'd have more things to say about it. Okay, sorry, I'm not. But when I'm there, and by the way, if you think I'm the only person who hasn't been as committed since Max wasn't there, I'm not. That's a problem when you're limited in the guys you have that feel like something. And the guy who the most feels like something and is presented as the biggest thing is not there. There are less things to watch. Even with these big veterans.
It's not his fault. Yeah.
His fault? How the hell would it be his fault? He's not there.
No, I'm saying it's not his fault that he's not there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be. You should be able to have a guy who's not around for 5 minutes and there's other things to watch. So I get it. People are going to be upset about this, but you guys don't get it. I look forward to literally on a Saturday night being like, I'm going to see what's up on Collision. I like the general look of the program. I like the voices that talk to me on the program.
Yeah.
I like the commentary. Excalibur. I like Tony Schiavone. I like hearing from Taz. I like hearing from Nigel. I like hearing from these people. And I like the overall, I like that it's wrestling on a Saturday night. I like all these things. And then I turn it on. I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
I don't know. Darby's promo last night that was very like frantic or whatever was not very good either. He did not wait for the crowd to react and sort of just spoke over them. And
well, Darby, you talk about promo problems.
I know, we love the guy.
That's not even the thing. Yeah. So are you feeling the momentum towards Sting's last match? It's 3 weeks away.
I know it had to. This is what he wanted to do, and it's a tag match, and he wanted to tag with Darby, and he wanted to do this. But no, if it were a singles match against MJF, I would care more about this match, which is what I think it should have been.
Yeah,
singles match against MJF, baby. I think Sting should go out with the title.
That's crazy.
What's so crazy about that? He wins it, relinquishes it.
Having a guy who's 60 I'm not some big nerd that believes it all has to be realistic in every way. Having a guy who doesn't even wrestle singles matches in your company and is 60 years old, beat your strapping young number one superstar to then be gone.
It doesn't have to be clean. I don't know.
What's the point?
I don't know.
It's one of the beautiful things about wrestling. Like, I know you don't like observing the traditional things, but the older guy having a great match and losing, and then he walks away. That's kind of what I think is one of the things that's dope about wrestling.
I hate that about wrestling. That's one of the things I hate, is having to put over the young guy. You know how I feel about the Cena stuff.
But it's like, I don't know why you see it that way. It's a cool thing.
Because people like to see the legend win sometimes. We don't always need to see them lose. And putting over the young guy or girl is not a thing. It's not. It's not.
It is.
Not in my head. Not in my
But family. Your idea for Sting is the single stupidest booking if they did that, it would be as if Bischoff was it would be the equivalent of
I disagree.
The worst WCW booking of all time. To fine. Put the title
if there
on
was,
Sting.
If you're telling me if there was some amazing storyline going on between Sting and MJF right now and it lasted 6 months and there was a big buildup to a big match where there's everyone thinks that Sting is going to lose to MJF and walk out the whatever and Sting ends up beating MJF, I think there's a huge pop and it becomes a thing. Yes.
Becomes a thing in what way? It's over now. He's gone.
Something that people talk about. You don't have to vet everything I'm saying, okay?
No, this is not vetting everything. This is the thing. If the guy's retiring, there's then no way to even capitalize on it. You just have your previous guy who now doesn't have the title anymore. He can't even get revenge. He's just taken down a peg permanently.
I don't see it that way either. I think that's just talking about, I think that's just like a wrestling moire. I don't think it's real. I think it's just something that people think should happen.
But Sting doesn't beat anyone. He never has matches. Like, it, you don't think these characters have any, there's no value to any win or there's loss at all?
Okay, Rosenberg, there's certainly no value in having him in some mid-card tag
Agree.
Team match.
Agree.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Anything is better than this. Sorry, I didn't want to be so harsh about this, but here I'm going to be harsh about this, okay? It's not good. All right. I don't need to see Sting lose the tag team titles to the Young Bucks. Okay. So anything Love is it. Better than this.
I just was going, that kind of proves my point. You don't have to go all the way to beating the young superstar world champion. You could just go to a really meaningful singles match with
Fine.
Someone.
Fine. But let him go over to retire. Does he need to lose?
No, I agree with you in the idea that if it's against anyone, he doesn't need to lose. I don't think that the...
Would it be fun to see Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat help Sting win his last match?
I would love that. I would love that. Like that. I would take no issue. I totally agree with that. But you have to understand, you did just change the conversation significantly. I agree.
I accept both outcomes. But yes, him feuding with Darby. Okay. If Darby would have turned heel halfway through this storyline... and it was Sting versus Darby in his last match, and you have, you know, Darby as the new Sting or whatever, you know, whatever we want to call him, whatever.
Yes.
But it ends up losing to his.
Love it. Okay. That's something.
All right.
They've been running the same half-assed Sting tag storyline for the entire time he's been in AEW.
I know.
Essentially.
I know. And I'm not saying Sting. Sting can't do everything, but he could still go, man. It's awesome.
He could still do something.
I love watching him wrestle.
And by the way, and Darby would be great because he could throw Darby all over the place. It would be nothing. It would be light work.
Right. It'd be easy. Darby make anyone look good.
Natalie, do you randomly made potato latkes for no reason? Did you have any? Is there any applesauce? Oh, it's unfortunate.
There's no applesauce for the latkes. Is there sour cream?
Sour cream. I understand this is from last Passover, but is there any sour cream? I mean, it's so delicious. It's just hard when it's so good, but then I don't even dip it. A cold dip.
Anyway.
You know, these are all very hard problems we all have.
There's nothing more fattening than a latke. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why are you giving me a latke in the middle of the day? It's the most fattening thing on planet Earth, also. Don't eat it. Did you know what she said? Then don't eat it.
I heard.
Can't put beautiful golden latkes in front of someone and say, oh, yeah. You know what it smells like? It's President's Day, babe.
Anyway,
it's not exactly
I will compliment Matt Taven and Orange Cassidy for a death match last night. Thumbtacks. There was a head wound on the side of Orange Cassidy's head that was streaming deep, dark, like deep red maroon blood. And it looked like he was having an embolism. It was the scariest. It was the scariest head injury, like head blood injury I've ever seen. Definitely the worst I've ever seen. As far what the blood looked like, it wasn't as bad as like JBL or like Abdullah the Butcher or like one of these heads or faces. But it was a gross wound on his head. Gross.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
And this Matt Taven guy did this chair spot where he flew over the ropes and hit and ran into a chair on the outside. That was crazy. It was a crazy death match.
Speaking of horrible head injuries, did you see the Sammy Jeff Hardy?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's not great.
Is he going to be okay?
I don't know what I don't know what. Let me see if there's an update on what's going on with Jeff.
I didn't see the video injury either. I heard it was pretty bad.
Details on Jeff Hardy's reported injury during the Rampage taping. Last night's Rampage taping took place immediately after Dynamite. Jeff Hardy versus Sammy. As per various videos that have surfaced online, Hardy appeared to suffer an injury during that bout when Guevara attempted a shooting star press from the top turnbuckle. Hardy managed to get his knees up, but Guevara's leg inadvertently crashed on his head.
Oh, God.
Did you see? So basically, Sammy lost control of one of his legs, and his knee just slammed into Jeff's head.
Oh, God. Not good.
Meltzer said it was pretty nasty. Haven't heard the severity of the injury, but it looked bad. It was one of those. Yeah, it looked bad. God willing, it just looked bad, and it was fine. But the video that was moving around was not great.
You know I don't like hearing about that.
No, and especially to Jeff Hardy. That's not what you're looking for. All right, guys, we are, 9 days away from Perth, Australia, Elimination Chamber. So we're going to get to some emails about everything. But first, let's start with... this, I have not read this yet. Sean emailed us and said, the problem with AEW.
Mail.
I'm a WWE fan, have been since 1986. I'm loyal to a fault and have never stopped watching WWE throughout the past 38 years, although 94 to 96 got a little spotty. But during that time, I also supported WCW, ECW, TNA, and now AEW. From their launch through mid-2023, I never missed an episode of Dynamite and even attended several Dynamites. Although I still support AEW and really want them to succeed, as competition is good for the whole industry, I found AEW is hard to watch lately. When I do watch, I have to force myself to get through Dynamite most weeks. The problem isn't talent, as they are loaded and look to get even more loaded in the next several weeks. Their issue is their storylines are either weak or non-existent. I know, no real revelation here, but it's true. My eyes start to gloss over when it's just another random John Moxley match. Dip, it's like I wrote this to myself. Is this me from the future?
Yeah.
There has to be a reason for the matches. Like Dip, I need characters and stories and compelling promos to get invested in the individuals in their matches. AEW has really dropped the ball in this department over the last year or so. It hasn't all been bad, as the stuff with Swerve and Hangman has been good long-term storytelling. I love Prince Nana, by the way, we all do. I pop for Nana every time. MJF and Adam Cole's storyline has also been pretty solid. I enjoyed most of that too. Copeland and Christian stuff has also been good, but these shining examples have been too few and far between. I really do hope they take advantage of the immense talent they have on their roster and begin putting together compelling storylines, because without good storytelling, they will continue to fall further behind WWE and may not make it another 10 years. I don't think anyone wants that to happen.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Mail.
Nikita, who says, longtime listener, first time emailer. I only recently have picked up watching WWE again, but have actually been listening to you guys since the Grantland days to get my fix. Really appreciate what you do. I've been following the storylines, and one thing that's really bothered me is the unintended consequences of having Cody choose Roman and everything in the storylines that have essentially been devaluing Seth Rollins and confirming everything Roman said about him in the SmackDown promo. But after Seth's promo on Raw, swearing to have Cody's back, I think there's a great way to elevate him and everyone in the storyline while not making the world title feel like second fiddle. Imagine this. On any Monday night between now and Mania, likely after the Chamber, Seth comes out once again to cut another promo, only this time, corporate Rock follows him out. They trade barbs in the ring, and you think it's because Seth is injured, but as he's about to leave, bam, Rock bottom. Maybe also a corporate elbow. Rock then takes the mic and says he'd want nothing more than to beat Seth's candy ass for the title. But even with his power, he can't have a match with a man who's not medically cleared. But there's one person that can. Out comes Damian Priest, who The Rock recruited. Money in the Bank is anytime, any place, anywhere, right? I haven't heard anything about exception based on medical. Priest comes down and either just covers or hits an SOH, depending on whether or not Seth can handle the extra bump. New champion. By the way, is Seth that injured? I don't sense Seth has a minor injury,
but is working through it. He's going to be fine.
I mean, I don't get the sense that he's getting surgery or anything right now. So
no.
I love this for several reasons. First, it elevates Corporate Rock further as a heel. Second, it elevates Priest and actually puts Money in the Bank to cool use. Third, I think Priest as champ versus anyone who could legitimately win the chamber is fresher than Seth would be. We've seen enough versus McIntyre or Orton. But most of all, I think it elevates Rollins. You could use him in that tag at Mania that everyone is talking about, or you could double down, kick him off Mania for daring to stand up to the corporation and start a long-term chase with him as the man put down by the bosses that you can take all the way to Mania 41 if you want. Sorry for the long email. Would love your thoughts. Stay mage, and thanks for letting all of us stay mage and enjoy ourselves. Nikita from Jersey. I like some of that. I hear you on the Seth concerns. I also am not of the belief that this tag match at WrestleMania is a real thing. I don't think that's happening.
I don't either, but I would like to see it.
I don't want to see a tag match at Mania, really, with these guys. I would rather see The Rock in a singles match with Seth. You want to talk about elevating Seth? It's the most basic thing in the world. We're having Cody Roman. We're going to build out a Roman Rock feud. So we have Cody Roman now. We have Rock Roman on the back burner. On the other side, what do you do with Rock until he gets ready for Rock Roman? You have him and Seth. Elevate Seth, gets Rock back in action, could put the title on the Rock if you want. There's so much you can do there. And I saw that footage after they went off the air when the mics were off already. I don't know if you saw it, Dip. When the mics went off, when they were on stage at the presser, and Rock is like cursing out Seth with no mic there. He's like, we do whatever the fuck we want. We do whatever the fuck. Seth's like, you can't just do whatever you want. He's like, yes, we can. We do whatever the fuck we want. I was like, this is mage. This is mage. You want to curse? Do it with a mic off. And it's just the person screaming and it seems like they're in real fight mode. That I'm fully into.
I mean,
Natalie reminding me of Stone Cold walking down. When Stone Cold would walk down to the ring and you couldn't hear him cursing, but you could see that he was clearly cursing the whole time he's walking to the ring. Yes, you were saying that.
I think what we get is The Rock as the special guest referee tonight. And that's, quote, everything changes. I think that's what we're talking about. I think everything changes in the dynamic of the match. I think that's what they're referring to. And you have The Rock, like I said last week, have him, cost Roman the match in some capacity. And we end up with, you know, Cody Rhodes having his hand raised by The Rock at the end of WrestleMania.
And then the Rock and Woman.
And then Rock Woman.
So Cody Rhodes with the title, Rock Woman after that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Mail.
Akash writes us and says, my WrestleMania swerve. Sweet Pete and whoever else is around for the Friday something. Here's what I do for the main event of 40. Night one, Seth retains against whoever wins the chamber. After the match, Rock's music hits, and he informs Seth that now he has to defend the title again, right now, against The Rock. Rock wins and is new world champion. Seth isn't hurt too much because he already defended the title once, and Rock is a huge heel for abusing his power by giving himself this match. Night two, Woman versus Cody. After a long back and forth match, things finally break down towards the end. Solo, Jimmy, Rock, and Seth are all brawling in the ring during the match. The bloodline gets the upper hand, but when Solo goes to help Roman, Rock gives him the thumbs down, and Solo hits Roman with the spike. Cody smiles. Seth questions him about what's going on. Cody hits Seth with a crossroads. Cody pins Roman. Cody and Rock shake hands, and it's revealed that this was their plan all along. Okay, buddy.
Yeah,
I love you, Akash. It's a lot of fun, but I
hope they do something swervy and fun with this, though.
But that was a lot of different things to try to cover. But Eric writes us and says,
mail.
My tease for Mania. I can see them turning this into a tag match. At first, I thought elimination, but I think it'd be better if it played out like this. And then it's another scenario. I'm not going to read another scenario for tag
many.
Match.
There's too many. Yeah, it's I got it.
There's too many different scenarios. Real quick, Dip, before you go.
Okay.
I know you have to leave. And we got to wrap up. So I'm talking to the great Jonathan Bartlett. What is the shirt design for this special event? Now, the idea that I thought could work, you know, the classic Starrcade 85 shirt that just says The Gathering? The picture of Dusty and Flair staring each other down?
Yeah.
Love the font. It would be beautiful. And it is, and this is for a live event, right? So the shirt saying The Gathering is kind of mage. But I don't know what to do then for the image because there's right. three of us. So a stare down is hard.
Yeah. I think it's a boring shirt. I like the shirt, but
no, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful for that. But I see what you're saying. Dip, let me, how about this? How about you in the middle? The powers of pain are on one side, Demolition's on the other side. Larry David in the background, a pile of bagels and glasses.
Now we're having a conversation.
Okay, hold on. A thought did just cross my mind, though.
I have an idea. Why don't we just put you and Greg in the Powers of Pain paint, and I'll be Mr. Fuji.
It's not the worst idea. What if we recreate the legendary Mania 14 bootleg that had Austin HBK with Mike Tyson in the middle?
I like that.
I can send you the image of it. It's like a cartoon.
I can picture it, but will you send it to me again so I can look at it?
And it could be like you and SGG facing each other with me in the middle as Tyson, kind of. And it kind of plays into what may happen at Mania this year. What are your team? All right, Dip, go have a good day at work. Go make me some money.
I'm going to. You need to help me do that, too.
What do I need to do?
You got stuff to do.
I wrote my brother. I wrote my brother. You should.
You got stuff. You got other stuff.
There's other stuff?
Yes. All right. I'll call you later.
Stay mage. There he is. That is Dipperstein, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a few more emails here. I have to tell you guys, this is a legit feeling I have. Natalie and I have dinner plans tonight. After dinner, Dip, make sure you turn your phone off tonight. I'm telling you, you're going to get spoiled and spoiled. I am going to have to not look at my phone because I probably won't get to watch this segment live. I'll probably be like a half an hour behind to an hour. I am as excited and curious to see what happens when The Walk comes out with Woman Wayans as I have been in a very long time. I do not. Does he come out to Roman's music? Does he walk behind Roman? Does he walk next to Roman? Do we just find out that, yes, he's going to be ref? Does he start? I mean, does he respond to what Triple H said this past week on Raw? Does he start really laying into the corporate walk of it all? Where, like, he starts talking about his power? Do they both cut promos? I'm not kidding. This is as excited as I've been for free TV in a very, very long time.
Mail.
Jimmy wrote us and said, Stack Guy Greg, SGG is really struggling with the concept of biggest in the last decade for this WrestleMania. I think when he caught on, he denied that it was, realized he was probably wrong, then doubled down by saying he thought it wasn't because it's the biggest in the last several decades. I think for casual fans, he might be right, though. And Dip made a good point that The Rock should be in Perth in order to face Seth. But Triple H's promo from Monday that gave a nod to the Authority got me thinking The Rock could become a new version of the Authority since we all know he's literally on the board and kind of Triple H's boss. Yes, that's what we've been saying. Very curious where this all goes. Even though I never watch any of these shows live, I'll definitely tune in live on Friday. Yes, Jimmy. You must tune in live tonight. I'm very, very, very excited for a live episode of TV tonight. So curious about what happens there. And I think that idea of Rock as this authority figure is one of the most mage potential things in a very long time.
Mail.
Joel says, gentlemen, love the show and listen every episode. Any insight into the whereabouts of my fellow Canadian Jinder Mahal? One minute he's showing up in a huge spot with Dwayne and then getting a title shot against Rollins. And before you know it, boom, he's nowhere to be found again. Doesn't get a spot in the Rumble. And I'm not sure he's even had a televised appearance. Jinder is mage. And I can't believe I got my hopes up for a push. Also, given how passive aggressive WWE has been booking Jinder over the years, I've already thought about how I think they'll bury him again. I think they'll rebrand him as Jinder Mahal and have him compete in whichever division suits him that week. I can't see this angle going anywhere but in the toilet, which means it's probably exactly what creative will do. All right, no. What era you think this is that they're going to do that? Calm down. Anyway, any insights on the whereabouts of Jinder would be appreciated. Stay mage, Joel. I saw Jinder at the Rumble. I had a nice moment with him. I was surprised he wasn't involved. I do not know what's going on with that. Where I thought you were going to go before you went into this bizarro version that is not going to happen was, would Jinder be a great pickup for AEW? He would be. If the booking was good, of course, which as we've said is a major problem. But I'm with you. I do not understand why we're not getting Jinder.
Mail.
Good old Keith Harrington writes us. I was finally able to watch the Rock Cody showdown with my 11-year-old son who thinks wrestling is great. The reaction on his face was like if he saw a small Santa smack a kid. I couldn't think why he was shocked, but then it hit me. While he knows The Rock was a wrestler, he's grown up with him as a movie star. And it was like, wow, how I felt when Andre ripped Hulk Hogan's tank on Piper's Pit. I missed Andre's peak and just knew him from Coliseum Home videos where he squashed five jobbers. After the pit, Andre went from special attraction to villain and joined the top heel faction in WWF to hunt down the top babyface. For my son's sake, I hope this story reaches the levels of WrestleMania 3. And he sent us a very cute picture of his son wearing a John Cena outfit. Yeah, you know what? I am sending this to Andrew Goldstein, who didn't believe that it was enough of a heel turn. That was the smack heard around the world. So psyched for tonight. So I wonder if they get a big rating tonight.
Mail.
This guy Ross, I really appreciate him, but he keeps sending emails to both me and Sam Roberts. Mazel tov on your new baby. By the way, yes, I called Sam the night his new baby was born. Congrats. Very, very happy to see that. I believe Sam and I are hosting the kickoff show for Perth next week together, so we're going to get to hang. He still managed to do an emergency podcast the day after Sam's baby was born, by the way. He is, I'll tell you, that Sammy brand is something else.
He needs a wellness check-in.
Oh, the thing is, though, about Sam, unless Sam is like covering something up, Troy, like Dip, you can see is sometimes happy, but miserable right under the surface. Like you can tell he really does need a nap and like some meditation. Sam really does seem happy all the time. I think he just truly gets his happiness from just talking about wrestling constantly.
That's unfortunate.
Why is that unfortunate? If it works for you, whatever works, you shouldn't be judgmental, Troy, with whatever makes you happy.
No, never be judgmental of wrestling fans. Never.
No, I didn't say be judgmental of wrestling fans. I'm saying don't be judgmental of how other people find their wellness.
No, not at all.
I mean, if he finds his through just literally blabbing about wrestling all day, God bless him. He found an easy fix. And guess what? He even gets paid for his wellness.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good situation.
Can I tell you something that, you know, as you found out last episode, I like doing other things during the recording of Cheap Heat.
Yeah, well, we learned that.
Yeah,
At least you say it on the podcast or all your potential bosses could hear. Go ahead.
Right. During the course of this episode, I just booked a speed dating ticket. Apparently speed dating is in and the dating apps are out. My mom sent me an article from CNN. Apparently speed dating is back.
It's such a mom thing to do.
And I've just signed up for a speed dating event and I can't wait.
Well, this is your dream because you basically speed date anyway.
Yes.
You basically have five dates in a weekend just because now you can do it all in one night.
Yeah.
Good for you.
In real life. This sounds awesome.
This is perfect.
This is perfect. It's like board games. It's like a board game speed dating thing. So you're playing like a board game with someone and you're drinking during it and you're getting to know someone. So
I got to tell you, that's actually not, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
Would you get nervous for something like this or no?
I've never been a big board game person, so I'm probably going to be nervous about like...
About the board game part.
About the board game, someone explaining the rules to me, not really listening, because I'm also like focused on the woman too, so that could be tough.
So you're not worried about the dating as much as the board game?
No. I love dating. I'm so good at dating. First date, I'm your guy. Third date, when, you know, like, where is this going? Not for me, but first date, it's like a podcast.
You're in a very interesting man, Troy, and we absolutely wish you the very best with this speed dating adventure. Can I just say that?
Thank you. I'll give you a recap.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing who made the cut. All right, well, unless you see, if you guys end up on a date with Troy the Goy, let us know. Otherwise, we'll see you next Friday. Maybe I'll do a live on my YouTube next week at Rosenberg Wrestling. Maybe we'll do that like after Raw or something, to, since I can't have a full week of wellness. I'll just jump on and say hi there. So make sure you're following at Rosenberg Wrestling, or you're jumping in the email rosenbergbeats@gmail.com, or, of course, in the Discord. Everyone enjoy SmackDown tonight, and stay mage.
And then I went to makeup and, like, sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Mage.